Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by FranVest International, Inc.
Welcome to Food Fight Radio, where you can get rock solid and reliable information about food, cooking, life, love. Heck, for a fee, we'll even give you marginal legal advice. Not really. Today on Food Fight, we'll be going over some of the easiest, most delicious desserts that you can make in 2 minutes or less. And after that, we'll tell you what you can do with that artichoke. But right now, tackling the redundant, controversial, and silly subject of what it takes to feed our organic food. Is it a waste of resources or just a giant waste of time? And the silly subject of organic feed for our organic food. Do we have enough organic food to feed our organic food? I'm starting to confuse myself. What's up with this?
So right now, you'll notice a lot of organic chickens and a lot of organic eggs are not on the shelves. People are having a hard time getting them in. And that's because China is not growing enough organic soybeans to feed these chickens. But we're growing enough regular soybeans to feed all of China's chickens.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't sound stupid to you.
It's a little confusing, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Why are we growing food to feed their food? And why are they growing food to feed our food?
And why do they have more food than us?
Yeah. Or
they got to feed a billion people.
Yeah.
We only have to feed 300 million people, which is, that's a lot less.
A lot less. And a small percentage of them get organic eggs.
And... well, Chinese people aren't eating organic eggs,
no.
So therein lies the solution. Is there really a difference between regular eggs and organic eggs?
Well, okay,
we've talked about this before, but
yeah.
I want to hammer this point in
because a lot of people are confused. Organic food does not have any more nutritional value than its counterpart.
It's just been grown organically.
It doesn't have the pesticides. So
yeah, you can have trucked in organic food from across the state that's been grown out of season. It's still going to be nutritionally devoid.
Yeah, because if you want nutritionally dense food, get local.
Get local in-season stuff.
Yeah, not organic.
Way better.
Organic just means there's no pesticides.
And possibly live in a part of the country that actually doesn't suck, that doesn't have rotten soil, you know, like live in a nice fertile place.
Yes.
And you're going to grow all kinds of wonderful things in season all the time. You'll have no limit to the variety of vegetables you can choose from.
Yeah.
But if you live in a nasty place, like let's say Nevada.
Yeah.
Not a lot of vegetable growing.
No.
Going on in Nevada.
Just gambling and hookers in Nevada.
And I think maybe they grow some pot there.
They might.
Yeah.
They might. But that's indoors most likely.
that's indoors and underground.
Exactly.
Where it's safe.
Yes.
Because the weather outside will just kill whatever.
Exactly. Just destroy it with the heat or the cold too. I mean, it gets really hot and really cold in Nevada.
So we here grow non-organic soybeans?
Yeah. We're actually the largest worldwide distributor of soybeans.
Non-organic soybeans.
Yes.
Why don't we just eat those?
Well, we eat those.
That sounds like cheap food to me.
But
a lot of it doesn't seem to have a problem growing. Why aren't we just eating more non-organic soybeans? Is there
because
a problem with the soybeans?
Everybody wants tofu, tempeh, or whatever from China because that's where they originate. So we grow those soybeans also to go there to be processed to come back here.
The ingredients for the stuff we want from China is grown here.
Yes, just
silly,
yeah.
Right?
It's
meanwhile we're giving up all of the feed for all of the animals that we need for all the eggs and
yeah. I mean, if we had more of an organic base, we wouldn't even need to ship
their
to China.
Food, they're feeding our food, but their feed is the organic soy
is the more expensive one,
and
ours
is the organic food is really doing anything for our organic animals.
I think what's happening, they need organic food to be organic animals.
But that's stupid.
Well,
an organic soybean isn't going to be different than a regular soybean.
Pesticide. It doesn't have pesticide. Therefore, you know your chicken won't have any pesticides in it, which will be absorbed into the
eggs.
But
your chicken is still going to have steroids.
No, because it's organic.
Well.
No. That's the point of organic. There's no added chemicals in those chickens.
Well,
that's why organic chickens
steroids,
are smaller.
How do you know they're not infected with some kind of disgusting mutating disease?
Well, because then they would be disgusting and mutated. Well,
not necessarily. Sometimes it takes many generations. For those things.
Ooh, what if they're going to mutate and come after
us? You get a mutated chicken. You know, I'd rather have a steroid-riddled chicken. Well, a lot of people don't appreciate that the human body is not going to respond to the steroids and hormones and genetically modified parts of the animal's feed the way you think it will. It responds to your body differently.
It does. It does. And here's the big misconception. How just people think organic food is more economical friendly or more sustainable.
So not.
Yeah, and it's not. And that's what I really wanted to point out. Like, everybody thinks, oh, it's organic, it's good for the planet and good for me.
No, you think
this
it's good
process
for you.
Is horrible for the planet. Why are we growing something?
You think it's good for you, you could be wrong. One thing we do know for sure that we don't have to guess at is that it's bad for the planet.
Yes.
It's bad for the amount of land we use to grow this stuff. We're not even eating the stuff that we're growing. We're entirely dependent on another country to get the food to feed our organic animals.
Plus that shipping food is the biggest contributor to like a carbon footprint or climate change. So having food shipped from one from America to China and then back to America to feed it and then shipped all over, that's so much gas and everything else you
and
don't need. And that's why it costs so
tidbit.
Much.
Everyone is used to the fuel efficiency of a vehicle. People going out of their way to make cars that are fuel efficient cars. So they're used to getting like a 30, 50 miles a gallon on these things. People have no idea of this, but do you have any clue how inefficient a boat engine is? It is so inefficient. It is such a gas guzzler that for a giant ship, it takes like 5 gallons of fuel to go a mile. Now, this doesn't make any sense because it's on a surface of water, which has very little friction, you would think. And its momentum should be enough to propel it forward. Not true. You're thinking of a spaceship in space. You get a little bit of oomph going, and you're going to go for a long, 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 long time because it's zero grav. There's no resistance. It's a vacuum. Okay. The ocean is not a vacuum.
No.
You don't glide.
Do you walk faster or do you swim faster? Just think about that. If you walk,
faster.
Yeah, if you walk 2 miles a day, you're not going to lose that much weight.
The ocean is holding on to you; it's dragging you back.
Yeah,
it's pulling on you.
Yeah, if you walk 2 miles a day, you're not going to lose that much weight or get healthier. You swim 2 miles a day, you're going to notice a big change in your body because it takes more energy. Yeah.
So these boats are having to work their butts off, gas wise, to get across these stretches of ocean. Not a good deal. Not a savings.
And for the stupidest reason possible, like. Yeah.
We're trading food to feed each other's stuff. You know what? The Chinese people are smart.
Well,
and not smart in the way that they're the geniuses that come up with all the great ideas and stuff. No. When I say they're smart, they look at things from a very clean, simple, feng shui, yoga-like perspective. And that keeps them from doing things that are, I would consider to be very, very stupid. Complicated, stupid things that we Americans tend to do. Right?
Now, you might be thinking, oh, aren't they doing the exact same thing we are? No.
No.
They're getting
smarter than us.
They're getting 10 pounds of soybeans for our 1 pound of soybean, if you look at how much
because
the cost
Americans
is.
Americans are misguided and they want an expensive, luxurious thing. But quite frankly, we are using our land wrong.
Yeah. We should grow our own and would save money.
Own.
Yeah. And eat our
grow
own.
Grow our own stuff. Feed our own animals
we have
inorganic
enough space.
Soybeans. Come on. An inorganic soybean is not a Monsanto mutated, genetically screwed up future zombie soybean. It's not. It's just a bean, people.
Yeah, it's just pesticide. They can do whatever they want to it. But even if we chose to go organic, it would still cut down the cost of organic eggs and chickens. And we would have more of them because it's just a truck drive away.
So the question is, we might not have enough, but when are we going to run out?
Well, it fluctuates.
Organic food is just going to keep getting more and more and more expensive until people just say, to hell with it.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. I go to your farmer's market, get local. Local is better for you. In most cases, there's less pesticides.
And by the way, non-organic certified local chicken eggs.
Yeah.
Get that. They're inherently organic.
And since they're local, they hold more nutrition than ones that have been shipped and depleting all the nutrients anyways. If
local,
you want to be
local
healthier.
Milk. Local milk from local companies.
Exactly.
They're trucking it in maybe 10, 15 minutes. You know, and it's going to be from, sure, they're not certified organic. But you know what? Organic certification is riddled.
Now it's riddled.
With ridiculous loopholes that are easy to get around, by the way. They make lots of shortcuts. It's very, very expensive. And as a result, or you're not paying for a super high quality thing.
No.
You're paying for the farmer's organic certification.
And you're paying for it being trucked in from China.
It's got a nice, big, shiny, happy, healthy looking logo on it.
Yay.
The word organic that they print on these labels is done with a different font. And that font was specifically chosen to make you think that it's more natural.
Uh-huh.
Because big
it's
block
all
letters.
Flowy and beautiful.
Big block letters indicate rigidness. Coming out of a computer,
yep.
Coming out of a factory, extruded out of some machine. That's what you envision when you see a food label that has block letters. But when you see a food label that's got this floopy little scripted
that's
thing
almost always
that
green.
Kind of is arched,
yeah.
Like around the top, it says organic. It's like a rainbow over the word milk,
yeah,
which is very blocky, you know. And then you get all happy because it's the font that they use that makes you feel all happy. It's a trick. It's a marketing ploy,
yeah.
Just like the organic certification, which we know from looking into it. And be my guest, start Googling around.
Yeah.
Don't read the first one you see.
Oh, yeah,
read the first 50
mm-hmm.
that you see. Read all of them. You're going to get information that defends both sides. But at least it'll put your mind in a better place, a place of knowledge.
Yeah.
We should change the way we do things a little bit in this country. And people aren't going to change the way they do businesses because they're still reacting to what people want.
Yeah, of course.
So people need to change what they want.
Or change.
First.
Yeah, vote with your money.
Then companies and factories and manufacturers will start changing the way they make things based on consumer demand. So we have to change our demands.
Yeah, and I just like the law we hate about the foie gras, the law that passed where all chickens have to be in California raised so they can run around. No, it shouldn't be a law. It should be what we choose to buy and be educated.
The government should stay the hell out of our food.
Yeah.
It should be a decision that businesses make based on what they
consumer
think they
demand.
Can sell.
Yeah.
What they can sell is based on what we,
mm-hmm.
the eaters,
yeah.
want.
And all it takes is for, don't be scared, America, Americans to get more educated on what their choices
are. Our food
are.
Is fine. Why is organic Chinese soy so much better than ours? Come on. You know, maybe they're cooler. About the way they look at food. Maybe their food outlook is a little bit more simple. We think it's more zen-like. You know, we think Chinese food couldn't possibly steer us wrong. You know what? They're messing with us.
Who invented MSG?
They think we're idiots. They do. They're selling us overpriced organic soybeans and laughing at us all the way to the bank. Now, what can we do to change that without upsetting the hippies? We can we can put labels on things
mm-hmm.
that are a little bit more honest.
Yes.
Now, a company we know can get organic certification just by paying for it and going through a rigorous process. It's a hell of a permitting process. I mean, they really run you through the ringer. They do. It's really, really, really expensive. And it's also not just expensive. The way you do things on your farm or factory have to be changed a lot. Making those changes is also very, very expensive. You have no choice but to ramp up the cost of those things. Now, aside from non-organic, which will have no organic label, and certified organic, which has a certified organic label, I think there should be something in between. We should have a label that says naturally produced or almost organic
or pesticide
California
free.
Organic.
California or organic.
California organic. I like that. People think Californians are more health conscious.
Yeah.
Even if it's in Nebraska,
mm-hmm.
you could use the California organic because it's a California
mm-hmm.
Type mentality. Call it California organic. It's also great marketing for California.
Mm-hmm. And then we can still use your GMO grains or do something like no pesticides or whatever
it
needs to be.
Another kind of designation, something that's inherently organic, mostly because of certain traits, certain aspects, certain ways this stuff is grown. For example, local vegetable producers in California, mm-hmm. right around where we are, they make inherently organic food. They can't afford the organic certification,
correct.
So they can't charge as much, but they're also not paying as much for the certification. They make tons of money, even though they sell their produce cheap.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's the way to go.
That is the total
people
way to go.
Better, more local, more healthy, more nutritious local food. Local businesses need to be supported. We need to have a third reasonable designation for people that are fairly in the know,
mm-hmm.
that pretty much know what we know. And we're more than happy to tell people what we know. In fact, try and
that's
stop
what we're
us.
Doing us. Yeah.
Try and stop us. We need to change a few things, and it has to start with the consumer. We're probably the best place to start for consumers because why? Because all the other food shows are talking about barbecue
mm-hmm.
and salsa.
Ooh, what'd you do for fat whatever? No, we're telling you what's really going on right now.
We're actually telling you what's really going on. we don't own organic farms. We have nothing to gain by this. And most of the time, I don't eat organic stuff because you know what? I know it's a waste of time most of the time. But there are some ways that we around, and by we, I mean my family and Marcus's family.
Yeah.
We change the way we make purchases.
Exactly.
We're not changing the world, but we're changing our world.
And that's all we're asking you to do. Educate.
Just a little bit.
Change your world.
Just learn something. It'll keep your brain busy. You'll learn a new little thing every day. And you'll never go senile. I can promise you that. You know, you keep your brain exercised, and those wrinkles in your gray matter will stay there. Heck, you keep listening to us, your gray matter might even become more wrinkly. It's like the only thing in your life you actually want to see
exactly,
more wrinkles.
Exactly.
I find that interesting. When we come back, beans, are they really great for your heart? Well, we've eaten a bunch of beans, and we're going to find out. Fart Fight Radio will be right back. What did I just say?
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Hand-tossed with the freshest ingredients. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinnight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
Do you want to save money on your electric bill? PowerSavingsToday.com has amazing small plug-in units you strategically place in your home. These amazing units automatically capture unused electricity and recycle it for your benefit. Amazing technology! Visit PowerSavingsToday.com to learn how you can immediately begin saving money by recycling unused electricity back into your home. PowerSavingsToday.com. That's PowerSavingsToday.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back, folks, to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. And with me in studio is a man who'd rather be fishing, Chef Marcus.
I'm not sure if I've actually ever been fishing.
You've never been fishing?
I mean, when I was a little kid, but never like on my own. I never saw the point because I can go buy a fish.
I don't think you're allowed to get your I'm a Guy membership card unless you've been fishing. Even I've been fishing.
Well,
it's just fun.
You just sit there and you're in a boat and you wait and you wait and you wait. And then something catches up and you pull it up.
Fishing is honestly easier for men because, you know, you're stuck in a boat in the middle of the water. If you do have to go to the bathroom,
that's the fun part.
Logistically, it's easier for men. You got to admit there's a whole situation there that tends to come up. But I've been fishing. You know how I like to smash my dinner to kill it and then eat it?
Mm.
Well, it's a fish.
Yeah.
That's a battle you're not going to lose because you're that much bigger than your prey.
Yeah.
You just need a good solid rock And you need to do this in front of your kids because it's a good way to teach your kids about life.
Who's the boss? Oh, yeah, I thought you meant who the boss is.
Well, there's
See this
that.
Fish? Bah,
and
I
then they're like,
things.
Ew, that's disgusting. Ooh, can I play with its guts? You know, and then you're like, sure, slice. And that's dinner. I love that kind of stuff. Little garlic, little salt, pepper, lemon. Go to town on that thing.
I love fish. I'm not saying I don't. I just...
Unless, of course, it's polluted.
It's polluted.
Which, if you catch any fish in California, it's probably going to be polluted. You got to overcook that baby just to kill all the parasites.
You got to turn it into lutefisk.
You pretty much do. You got to soak that thing in lye and then do all kinds of weird stuff to it. Turn it into gelatinized fish goo.
Gelatinized fish goo.
Yeah, it sounds, I'm getting hungry already. Beans, the overrated fruit.
Overrated? What? They're not a fruit.
You know, your family is vegan.
Yes.
You love these things.
I love beans.
I try to avoid them.
Really?
Really, for most of the time, much as I can.
Do you know, like, for a lot of Latino dishes or Mexican dishes, there's a lot of cilantro. Cilantro is actually an anti-flatulence herb. So
it
when
is.
You eat it, you're less likely to toot.
Well, that explains why it's always prominence in the local cuisine.
Yeah, yeah. So that's just one of the
However,
many of them.
You know what else contributes to flatulence? Not eating any vegetables at all. There's going to be so much stuff and so many beans and so many refried beans. And a comment, by the way, on refried beans. Refried beans are not one of those types of beans that are very good for you. In fact, they are the opposite. They are bad for you. They're full of fat to preserve them. Now, here's what a lot of indigenous Mexican cultures have done to the bean. Okay? Now, could have had a very healthy addition to the cultural favorites, the menu of du jour, the food everyone eats when they come home from work, you know, and that's beans.
Beans, yeah.
Healthy, awesome.
Source of protein.
Fiber.
Great fiber.
Protein, vitamins, natural, energy, everything, healthy carbohydrates, but they loaded them with fat to make them last. Now, the reason this was stupid is because, well, they have lots of beans down there. They have ways of getting and preparing fresh beans. Eat them over a couple of days. They're not going to go bad. But basically what they've done is they've done the lazy thing. They want to make a giant pot of beans, make it last for a week, 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's lazy. It's lazy. And in being lazy, they have made a side dish, which of course it's delicious. It's full of lard. Name one thing that's full of lard that we eat regularly that isn't delicious.
No.
See?
Can't do it.
Can't do it. Everything that's full of lard. Of course, it's delicious. So, of course, that's what your family wants. Are they going to eat the regular stewed black beans that have just a little pinch of cheese and just a little pinch of salt, natural sea salt? Delicious, right? Top it with little onions, chop up some fresh onions, toss
black
cilantro
beans have that
in
nice
there.
Thick flavor,
they
yeah.
are wonderful. I actually like those. But you mash it up, you fill it full of lard and salt. It's good for 10 days. You now have the luxury of not cooking for 10 days, 2 weeks. However, you have now turned your dinner from a super healthy standby to absolute crap.
Now, are you sure it's them being lazy or them just being efficient? Because I think back when that tradition started,
well, aren't the
they
two kind of hand in hand?
No.
Now, if you're lazy, you're saving yourself work. That makes things more efficient. So, yeah, they are being lazy. Yes, they are being more efficient.
Yeah, but they can do more because now they don't have to cook beans every day. They can cook the tortillas. They can chop up the vegetables. They can do the housework.
Okay.
Like, this is before that. I mean, I understand, but...
It does take a long time to make fresh, good, healthy beans.
Mm-hmm.
But they've now turned their dinner from a healthy dinner into a dinner that makes them bigger and sicker and clogs their arteries.
Actually, a lot of Mexicans have three biological traits that are making them going to have heart attacks or... circulatory problems.
Is one of those things tequila?
No. Actually, their diet does something to which they are least likely to get those diseases.
What was that?
Pinto beans is one of them. And they usually have it with some vegetables. So that fat helps them absorb the nutrients from the vegetables.
So maybe they're a little less likely to get these cardiac diseases.
Which they're genetically prone to get.
Okay. But they're also really huge.
Mexicans?
They tend to be a little bit on the chubby side.
Maybe,
and I think
maybe
it's because
I'm just too big.
Maybe it's because they're eating too many beans and not enough protein.
Maybe they're eating too much Taco Bell and less grandma cooking.
Well,
I don't know.
That's America's fault right there.
Yeah, I agree. But
you know what? There is no such thing as a Mexican burrito. Now, they had the healthy little size taco.
Yeah.
Right. Little taco.
Street tacos were original
small.
Tacos.
Yeah. It's easy to make a small flour corn. And it's not a lot of tortilla.
No.
The whole point here is that it's not a lot of tortilla.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to have a lot of stuff in it. You're going to get shreds of some... wonderful, cooked over an open fire, whole pulled pork, delicious, right? A little lime, get some cilantro in there, fabulous, and put a little bit of refried bean in it, Mm-hmm. Fine. You got yourself a nice carnita street taco.
Yes.
A little homemade guacamole and salsa. Not going to give you a recipe for that. It's a tiny thing.
It's tiny.
Two or three of those, that's your meal, right?
Yeah.
Now, what the Americans did was we made the taco huge.
Mm,
we took this tortilla, we made it gigantic. We filled it full of fried potatoes, refried beans, more of this, more of that, guacamole, tons of melted cheese, sour cream, pico de gallo, and probably some of the more fatty pieces of meat.
I was going to say, there's only two ingredients you said in there that don't have a lot of fat.
We wrapped it up. So, of course, we had to make this giant lard-filled tortilla big enough to wrap this thing up.
Yeah, with lard,
and
of
now
course.
We have a burrito the size of my arm.
Yeah.
My forearm, from elbow to fist, that's breakfast for Americans who like Mexican food.
Yes, I do love breakfast burritos.
Mexicans who like Mexican food, they get a plate full of things, and they have a couple little flour tortillas on the side, or corn tortillas, usually corn tortillas. And corn tortillas are actually better for you than flour tortillas. So not only did we make the tortilla less healthy, but we made it huge.
Well, we had to use flour if we're going to make it huge, or it wouldn't fold.
It wouldn't fold. you need the gummy glutenous of the tortilla in order to be able to wrap it up into a burrito. But we're the only ones who eat the burritos. The Mexicans don't eat the burritos. But, you know, really, I think the secret to Mexicans' longevity, hard work, tequila.
And lots of chica chica.
And lots of what now?
Okay, so now we're talking about beans. One of the reasons beans are actually really, really good for you is that water-soluble fiber. So it's the fiber inside of them that helps clean out your system. Having beans, about a half a cup of beans every day, will definitely help your heart go longer because it's helping cleaning out your whole system.
And this includes white beans.
Navy beans.
Pinto beans.
Lima beans.
Garbanzo beans.
Actually, kidney beans are some of the best for this because they also have lycopene in them, which helps stop free radicals. So kidney beans are very good for you. And those are usually what they use in chili.
Soybeans.
Soybeans.
Butter beans.
Butter beans.
They're like these huge kind of light colored giant lima bean looking things.
Oh, okay.
They're gigantic.
Yeah.
I only like them because they're gigantic. They're like food of the gods sized beans. Like they look like
the magic beans.
The huge mutated older brother of a lima bean.
Huh.
You know, they're really very cute.
Aww.
You know, you look at them, you can
huge,
only fit like 10 of them on your
cute.
Plate. I mean, they're giant. They're just, they look like they're like silver dollar size beans. They're just really neat.
Nice.
You know, I like to put molasses butter on them, you know, and English black treacle. If you mix that with a little bit of butter, mayonnaise, and horseradish sauce, it makes a wonderful brown, kind of honey-like, kind of dense, kind of molasses-y, kind of irony sauce. Nice. And it goes great on these butter beans because they're buttery.
Oh, right on.
They taste very buttery. I guess that's why they call them butter beans. And Marcus here, following a vegan diet, uses beans for all kinds of other things just besides just putting them on your plate and eating them as well.
Yeah, I'll use them as a binder for our veggie burgers. I'll use them as egg substitutes in certain baking. I'll use them all over the place. Dips. There's so many things you can do with beans. You can puree it and turn it to anything. I love thickening up soups with it. So you make just a vegetable soup, get a bunch of local vegetables, chop them up, a little water or stock if you have it ready, white wine. And if it's too thin, just throw in some bean puree. Again, I use kidney beans because it adds a little color to it.
Oh, it is pretty. Better than the white stuff.
Yeah.
So beans are not a fruit.
No. They're definitely not.
Just said that because it rhymes with toot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, toot.
But they are, in fact, great for your heart.
Very, very, very good for
And they do, in fact, make you... When we come back, the best way to make the best desserts all in 2 minutes or less, the laziest way to make food that'll make you more lethargic, is coming up next.
When our kids started school,
I could see they needed an extra challenge. We tried the supplement at home, but we were exhausted and they were bored.
Then we discovered Renaissance Village Academy, located at 9988 Hybert Street in Scripps Ranch. RVA is a school for gifted, profoundly gifted, and or highly motivated students in kindergarten through eighth grade. The kids are so excited to go to school now, and they're definitely challenged.
Each week includes karate, drama, music, arts, education, gardening, gardening, and other valuable life skills.
So we're confident that they're being well prepared for success.
RVA is unlike any school you've ever seen. I'm so glad we found Renaissance Village Academy.
It's the school I wish I had gone to.
I know, right? Go to rva.us.com to find out more about how your child can rediscover the joy of learning. Renaissance Village Academy, personalized and
don't forget motivating.
Education for the gifted.
Go to rva.us.com.
Okay, gang, our dinner's here from Dine-In Tonight. Come on, let's go.
You know, I remember before there was Dine-In Tonight and people had to cook dinner for themselves.
What? Really? That's crazy. People don't have time for that.
Oh, Ma. Are you telling stories again?
I know, but back then, if you didn't cook for yourself, you had to have fast food.
That's so unhealthy.
And then all that changed when Dine-In Tonight opened. All you had to do was sign up online and they'd bring fresh, hot gourmet dinners right to your front door every night and for only $10 a dinner. And you didn't even have to choose. Everything was all done for you and the food was always different and suddenly everyone's lives got so much easier.
Wow, Grandma. That must have been so awful to live like that.
Yes, my dears. Those were hard times. Those were hard times indeed.
Dine-In Tonight. Ready to eat dinners delivered to your home or office. Start simplifying your life one meal at a time. Call 1-888-64-MEALS. That's 1-888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Charles Cole Jewelers delivers dreams, bringing the deepest wish glowingly to life. This is jewelry as unique and special as the dreams that create and desire. Charles Cole has an impressive history and extensive collection, including Hearts on Fire and gorgeous colored diamonds and gemstones. Charles Cole Jewelry will indulge even the most refined tastes. They invite you to visit their design showroom and production facility in Fashion Valley Mall and see for yourself how personal service and highest value are reasons why Charles Cole is San Diego's trusted advisor for all things jewelry. Ask them about their incredible risk-free custom work. Call Charles Cole Jewelers at 619-298-5655. That's 619-298-5655. Or online at charlescole.com. That's charlescole.com. Visit Charles Cole Jewelers in the Fashion Valley Mall for amazing jewelry that resonates, excites, and inspires. charlescole.com.
Welcome back, folks, to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. So we've talked about lots of sweet and chocolatey delectables on this show, and dessert is usually my favorite part of the meal, but today we're going to focus on the instant gratification aspect of cooking. We'll be talking about the best and most delicious, most fantastical two-minute desserts. But first, in other news, the weird inventor of the cronut, Dominique Ansel, already having had his taste of fame for the 5.5 minutes after that thing came out and stormed a very easily impressed nation with the cronut, has become addicted to the limelight and has been working timelessly to come up with the next big thing. He went back to the drawing board and got all kinds of funky on that shiznit. And now the brainchild of the pastry man without a brain has been revealed. Folks, he's done it again. He's combined two things that everybody loves and came up with something no one can stand. The chocolate chip cookie milk shot. It's cookies. And it's milk. It's a cookie that's been baked into a shot glass shape. Then he fills it with milk. It's a metaphor. The cookie is as filled with milk as he is with himself. So people can enjoy that for the next 7 minutes. I wonder if it takes him 2 days to make these as well. It's novel, at least, though. I do like that he's trying. Not terribly hard, but he is trying. The only problem I see with this new product of his is that if you're lucky enough not to shatter your cookie cup when you bite into it, it's still a race against time to fight the soggies, and then you're still going to run out of milk by the time you get to the cookie. It's no good for you, though. In the end, this guy only does desserts. Next, he'll be inventing the butter sticker. Just peel and stick directly onto your ass. 2 Minute Desserts is right now on Food Fight Radio. And I'm looking at my co-host, yeah. Chef Marcus, here, because, you know, folks, Chef Claire didn't have breakfast this morning. And if I start talking about this thing, I'm going to run out of here mid-show. So
you're going to eat. No problem.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about some fantastical two-minute desserts.
No problem. So you get some marshmallow fluff. You mix it half and half with cream cheese. You have a phenomenal dip for your cookies and your fruit. Boom, boom, go.
Marshmallow fluff and cream cheese?
Yes. This is not good for you.
No.
Fruit
I gotta
is
have
just
some.
A vessel.
I gotta have some of that. Do you think that would go okay in a peanut butter sandwich?
I think it'd be phenomenal in a peanut butter sandwich.
It's got
with
cream
some
cream cheese in it. You
with,
can feel pretty good about smearing it on a bagel.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah, or a blueberry bagel. That'd be great. Yeah.
I'm out of here.
Cinnamon toast.
I gotta find the nearest bagel place.
No, cinnamon toast is a quick one we do in our house too. So you just have toast, butter, cinnamon, sugar. Now it's a light on dessert, but you have it with your sweet tea or your hot chocolate.
Quick it's 2 minutes or less.
Yeah, it's easy. This one blew my mind. I tried it. I love it. So you take chocolate chips, you take cream cheese, throw it in the microwave 15 seconds, pull it out, stir it. What you've just made is a quick chocolate cheesecake.
Chocolate cheesecake. 2 minute boom, microwave boom. Chocolate cheesecake.
And then you spread it on whatever you want.
Are you kidding me?
Dude, it's so good. Or if you use cloves and blueberries with a little
can
powdered sugar.
Can you freeze that around a stick and turn it into a popsicle?
You can freeze anything around a stick and turn it into a popsicle.
Well, that's actually true. You can freeze me on a stick and turn me into a popsicle. That's actually true.
There's nothing. Sorry. I'm totally laughing in my head.
Makes a funky mental picture, though.
It
imagine
really
the look
does.
On my face where I turned into a Claire Pop.
So now with that, sorry, like that cheesecake, I love doing it. I have some made crepes at the house, and you can buy crepes. Spread them up. You have your little crepe deliciousness of peanut butter, chocolate. Again, you melt it. It's a great dip. But even better when you spread it between two graham crackers and you have a peanut butter chocolate graham cracker sandwich.
I'm noticing a theme here, and we're using some common ingredients. We're using cream cheese, marshmallow fluff, chocolate, and peanut butter. These seem to be the bases for most super quick and easy delicious desserts.
Well, they change their shape or they alter things really quick. They fold in like cream cheese absorbs flavor.
They all mix together.
They all have pungent flavors.
They can all be nuked and not just not die in the microwave.
Yes. They all melt other things. So,
what if you put peanut butter and cream cheese together in the microwave? Can you make a peanut butter cheesecake?
I think you can. I'm going to try it now.
Well, you're going to have to because I'm going to need breakfast tomorrow. And that's the way I'm leaning.
That's the way you're leaning.
Yeah.
All right. Here's another one. So you get a cornstarch. So you get about a tablespoon of cornstarch. You get a shot glass, about an ounce or two of white wine. You mix that in and you mix in your favorite chocolate syrup or jam.
Ooh.
And it'll make an icing that can go on anything.
It's a wine icing?
It's a wine icing.
Awesome.
Quick, easy, blow people's minds. You must have spent all day making
that
this.
All over strawberries.
Strawberries.
Any kind of, you know what goes great with red wine, sweet white red wine, anything is cantaloupe.
Yes.
Like cantaloupe dessert and port. Like if you have like a cantaloupe gelato and some sweet port, you can blend those things together with some vodka and that makes one of the best martinis. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like a slushy, but it's a martini. It's really, really fantastic. So we know those flavors go great together. A sweet red chocolate port.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a chocolate port, you've turned into this sauce that Marcus is talking about. Drizzle that all over some cantaloupes.
Ooh, that sounds lovely.
That sounds really
good. So the next one I stole from my mom. You take any flavored yogurt that you like. You mix it with Miracle Whip. You pour it in a pie tin. You put it in the freezer in a minute or so. It sevs up.
And you get it out of the freezer. And then you cover it with whipped cream. And then you throw it at someone.
Well, you cut it up and people think you spent all day making a cream pie. But really, you just mixed Miracle Whip and yogurt. And
that sounds terrific.
It's just easy, easy to do. Of course, fruits. Fruits, chop them up, drizzle a little bit of sugar on them, give them a minute, and they'll start to kind of release their liquid, and it turns them into a sauce. And you like strawberries and berries go great with this, and you could pour that over anything.
Yeah, any kind of sugar mixed with any kind of fruit, plus heat.
Well,
is
going to
make something really wonderful. That's a great sauce you can put on anything. Crepes, pancakes, waffles, ice cream.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much anything at all. We're going to put all this stuff on the website.
Mm-hmm.
These are all things using things you have in your home.
Yeah.
Well,
of course,
or at least
2 minutes.
You really should have in your home. I mean, if you don't, what's wrong with you? We're going to put these on the website. It's going to be the world's easiest gourmet, wonderful. You can't live without these kind of sweets. Add one a day
and
you'll be happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dessert. Treats, chocolates after meals. It makes you happy. It's the one little thing that can really take like a really cruddy day and turn it into a wonderful day. You know, at that point, add alcohol and, okay, well, for me, that's just a Monday. But we got you covered. We'll be taking care of you there. Coming up next, what's green, tasty, and spiky all over and can also double for an alien body-snatching pod creature? An artichoke. Eee! But it's okay. You can cook with it. We'll tell you what you can do with that artichoke right after this quick break.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinnight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Pizza, wings, pasta, subs, and salads. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Do you want to save money on your electric bill? PowerSavingsToday.com has amazing small plug-in units you strategically place in your home. These amazing units automatically capture unused electricity and recycle it for your benefit. Amazing technology! Visit PowerSavingsToday.com to learn how you can immediately begin saving money by recycling unused electricity back into your home. PowerSavingsToday.com. That's PowerSavingsToday.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back, folks, to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. Today on Food Fight, we're talking about that freaky, ugly, spiky thing you see in your kitchen every day. And I'm not talking about that cousin from out of town who won't leave. It's an artichoke, and they're fabulous. You've been avoiding it. It's been sitting there in your veggie drawer. You bought it that time a couple of weeks ago, and it's still sitting there, haunting your days. You look at it and think, if only I knew what to do with you. You're making that poor little vegetable feel bad about itself. Shame on you. You always reach for the baby carrots. You're a speciest. Take it out of the fridge, give it a good rinse, and we'll tell you what you can do with that artichoke.
All right, so first time I ate artichoke at home, little kid, what we'd do is we would cut the tips off, boil them for a little bit.
How long?
Boil them for about 5 minutes.
Because when you're talking about people and vegetables and you say boil it for a little bit, for the average person, that means like 45 minutes.
Okay, I forget.
You forget who we're dealing with here.
Whenever I'm in the kitchen and you always ask a chef or one of the cooks how long to cook it, they always say till it's done.
Right.
And that's it. That's
we know when it's done.
When it's done.
Our listeners don't know when it's done. They're going to wind up with a weird brown, soggy artichoke.
What do you mean when it's done? When it's delicious?
Yeah,
how do I know?
Give us a time frame here.
Yeah. So, about 5-10 minutes for each artichoke or, you know, the size. And then what you do is you peel leaves off and you use a dipping sauce.
Yeah.
We would always do like a garlic aioli, which is just mayonnaise with garlic powder in it and whip it all up.
You had me at mayonnaise.
You dip that in and take leaves and you eat the part that comes off the artichoke. So where it's attached, there's a little bit of meat there. We just kind of scrape that off, eat that.
Yeah, you don't eat the whole leaf.
No, no, no.
You know, a lot of people look at this spiky thing and you know what they do with them? They use them for centerpieces.
Well, they're huge thistles, aren't they? When they fully grow up, they, yeah.
Yeah, and you know that because they have these pointy barbs on them.
Yes.
And they get you.
They do
like when you're,
get you.
When you're getting these things, that's why you trim, snip the little tops mm-hmm. of each leaf.
Yeah.
That's where the barb is. You just snip it off with a pair of kitchen shears. And in order to make it lie flat on the plate where you're going to be serving this appetizer, you want to just hack off the very bottom of the stem to make the bottom kind of flat.
Yeah.
Now, don't eat the first few leaves that are around the outside.
No, no. They're
the most
tough
fibrous.
And hard. Yeah.
So you're not going to be interested in that. But don't just yank these leaves off and shove them in your mouth.
No,
you
no.
You got to scrape the stuff. You're going to be scraping the thing off of the underside of this leaf. So you're going to take the leaf. It's like a flower petal. Mm-hmm. Put it in your mouth. Use your lower teeth.
Uh-huh.
Lower teeth. And use them to scrape the meat off of the bottom side of each leaf.
Yes.
Of course, after you've dipped it in the mayonnaise.
Of course, after.
Yeah. And based on the fact that these things go delicious with any kind of fat, and you know what? It's they have fat-soluble vitamins in them.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like broccoli.
Just like broccoli.
So don't eat it with a lot of fat. Eat it with a little dip. Just a little smidge.
A little dip. Oh, you're going to over-mayonnaise yourself.
Yeah, you will. And that's not good for you.
Yeah.
You'll cross out any of the benefits you're going to be ever getting from this very chock-full of vitamins veggie. Don't do that.
You want to see the veggie through the mayo. You don't want to... You don't want so much mayonnaise
yeah,
that you can't see through
it. You want it to be a tiny scrape because you know what? Mayo and aiolis are very, very well flavored.
Yes.
Yeah, they're very deep. The complex flavors, if you've made your own aioli at any point from eggs and oil, you know how rich it is. In fact, just watching those two ingredients go together in a blender is heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
Because you know. Now you're looking at this thing. And you're seeing these two very fattening things blending together to make the world's most ultra fattening dip. And now you're like, that's going to be in me. And then you don't want it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So do this. Get some nice cheap mayonnaise.
Yes.
You don't have to imagine or think what it's made out of. Take it, put it in a bowl, and you can make delicious aiolis out of any herbs, any spices, a little bit of saffron, a little bit of curry powder. You want to take, it's mayonnaise, so citrus won't curdle it.
Exactly.
So you can put any kind of citrus in there. Grapefruit juice, orange juice. Orange juice and curry is wonderful.
Yes.
Mixed together in an aioli. Now, you know what's also the weirdest aioli in the world that everyone's going to want to try, but everyone's going to be kind of like grossed out?
What's that?
Put some cocoa powder in it.
Hmm.
Or some Hershey's syrup.
Hershey's syrup.
Into the mayonnaise.
I'm going to try that on just a little bit.
And if you really want to drive home the deep, rich, chocolatey, floral flavor, get a, you know, like a really good, dark Ghirardelli bittersweet cocoa powder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not the totally unsweetened kind. Get the bittersweet, the semi-sweet kind. It's got a little bit of sugar in it.
A little bit, just so it doesn't
not
hit
much.
You in the face. Yeah.
Yeah. But what you want to do with that is put some instant ground espresso. A pinch. Just a pinch. It brings out the deep floral flavors of the chocolate. So you're not going to get an artificial chocolate flavor. This works even with the world's cheapest Hershey's chocolate syrup. So if you can make Hershey's syrup taste good with the addition of instant ground espresso, it'll fix anything.
It will fix anything.
And that's a really interesting, weird dip. Guests will love it. They won't have any idea what its flavor is.
And just to show you how diverse mayonnaise is, you can add anything to it. Like if you've been out anywhere, almost everybody's now adding sriracha. And having a sriracha aioli.
What can't you do with sriracha?
I don't know. What can't you do with mayonnaise? I mean, you can...
And we have to support the sriracha company. I mean, recently they had to fund a massive relocation after they were kicked out of a city for smelling bad.
Well, yeah, because the... This has nothing to do with artichokes,
well,
but yeah.
I knew they weren't going to go out of business.
Well, yeah,
like, oh, save the sriracha. I'm surprised they didn't have t-shirts that said save the sriracha.
I should have made t-shirts. I would have had so much money.
T-shirts and bumper stickers. Save our sriracha. SOS.
Yeah.
Right? On the front of the shirt and then on the back, save our sriracha. But you know what? I told you they were just going to move. No massively successful company is going to shut down just because the locals don't like them. And you know what? That city no longer deserves to get their taxes from their profits for having such an amazingly awesome product.
Well,
that's what they get.
It wasn't just smells bad.
Well, their eyes were watering.
they were in
poor
pain.
Poor little kids waking up to go to preschool and daycare in the morning, and then, Mama,
stinging.
I can't see. My eyes hurt. You know what? The city was doing just fine making the money from that company's success.
Yeah.
So Shut up, kids. Man up.
If you don't know what we're talking about, take a little bit of sriracha, throw it in a frying pan, let it smoke up a little bit and see what happens to your house.
And then it's going to be like, it's like an acid gas cloud.
And that's all you have to do to get people to leave your house.
It's, hey, I've never tried that, but I will.
Yeah. I have some ghost pepper vinegar. And when people are I'm like, oh, I'm just going to make this really spicy dip, I put it in there, I leave the room.
And per my request, boils. You've kept that thing way away from me.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't even want you around if you're even talking about that stuff. It makes my eyes hurt. What else can you do with that artichoke?
Oh, geez, so many. So marigolds, that's when you poach baby artichokes, use them as garnish. So you'll take the baby artichoke, you'll peel off all the leaves, you'll scoop out the fibers in the middle. So in the middle of the pod, that's where the flower's going to be. So you just want to scoop those out. You poach them in olive oil, citrus, onions, and you poach. So you don't bring it up too high. You want to poach them, I want to say 15 minutes, again, till they're done. So check them when they're soft and tender.
Cook them till they're done.
Cook them till they're done. You know what I mean.
This is why Marcus is the co-host. Cook them till they're done. That's great advice for people who don't know how to do stuff. And in terms of eating the entire artichoke and really enjoying it whole hog, once you're done eating all the leaves, you get down to those fragile, limp, lame, little baby soft leaves.
You take four of those off and just eat them.
Grab those. But also on the inside, there's this spiky mass.
Yeah, that's what's going to be the flour.
You want to get that out.
Yeah.
Take a spoon, you go under it. There's this thing on the bottom, which is called the artichoke bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really delicious. It's a giant plug of exactly the same stuff that you've been scraping off of the leaves with your teeth. So you want to get rid of those little flowery spike things.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get this whole disc. It looks like a little bowl-shaped disc.
Yes.
You know, that's the whole thing. It's all clean. It's beautiful. Kind of soft and kind of pasty. It's kind of coming apart in your hands a little bit. What you want to do is you want to cut that into pieces, spear it with a fork, drizzle it with lemon, and dip it in a little bowl of clarified butter. It's really, 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 really good.
It is really good.
If you have not eaten one, you have not lived.
I agree. So, go out and get artichoke hearts.
Oh. Rescue that poor little sad vegetable from your veggie bin.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you don't have one, or if the one that you bought last week has already gone bad, which it probably has, because, ooh, artichoke, pretty, I'm going to eat that. I'm going to have a nice little appetizer with wine with my hubby, and it's going to be romantic after the kids go to sleep. That didn't happen. You probably let that thing go bad. Go to the store, buy another one.
When you
this
buy
time,
them,
do it right.
Yeah, when you buy them, you want them to be tight.
Yeah.
You want all the leaves. You don't want it to be opening up like it's going to flower. Then it's kind of going.
Yeah.
It's a little too old,
you'll
a little too mature.
You have to eat it that day.
Yeah. You want to buy them all still tight and hold together. That's how you pick them out.
That's also how you pick out your spouse.
No, exactly.
Yeah. You want to make sure they're still tight.
Tight.
Marry them while they're still tight.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you have at least a nice wedding picture. So that's the artichoke.
That's the artichoke.
Tune in next week for Dave the Vitamin Guy on beer and exercise together. How could I have not known about this? And chocolate as an ingredient in savory recipes like mole. We're going to get your imagination going. And foods that everyone keeps putting into things for some reason, even though they're still a giant waste of time, like kale and microgreens and radicchio. Oh, my. That's all next week on your favorite food show. This is Claire Katz reminding you that a young and voluptuous Sophia Loren once said, "Everything you see, I owe to spaghetti." Take that, Kate Moss.
Have you heard the news? Bad things come in twos. But I never knew about the little things. Every single day, things get in my way. Someone has to pay for the little things.
Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by Friend Vest International, Inc.